translation. As the incarnation of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty and ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by his powerful will weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, his rule was characterized by his glorious fame, which spread over the three lokas and above them to the planetary system of Satyaloka, the topmost in the universe. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We have already discussed the incarnations of Manu in the first canto. Anyone remembers where it was discussed in the first canto? Which chapter in the first canto has a similar name? Third chapter called? Well, this is the schedule incarnation, the second canto, and the first canto, third chapter is called Krishna, the source of all incarnations. So there is also a list there. And Prabhupada says, we have already discussed the incarnations of Manu in the first canto. And he actually almost repeats the same when he says that in the first canto, in the verse which describes the Manus. So he says, in one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus changing one after another. So 14 Manus in one day. And one day of Brahma is how long? In terms of solar years? Okay. 4.3 billion 300 million years. Okay. So then 14 Manus, and then there are, in 1 month there are 30 days. In that way, there are 420 Manus in a month of Brahma and 5,040 Manus in 1 year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years according to his calculation, and as such, there are 504,000 Manus in the jurisdiction of one Brahma. There are innumerable Brahmas, and all of them live only during one breathing period of Mahavishnu. So, we can just imagine how the incarnations of the Supreme Lord work all over the material worlds, which comprehend only one-fourth of the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says the same thing, actually in a few places, especially when he talks about the Manvantara incarnations. They're so innumerable, and we can just imagine how Krishna appears or empowers his different parts to play a certain role. And then the last part of the purport, the Manvantara incarnation chastises all the miscreant rulers of the different planets with as much power as that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who punishes the miscreants with his wheel weapon. The Manvantara incarnations disseminate the transcendental glories of the Lord. Chakram chadikshvavahitam dashasu svatejo manvantareshu manuvangshadaro bibharti dushteshu rajasudamam vyadadhat svakirtim sate tripushta ushatim prathayangscharitraih. As the incarnations of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty and ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by his powerful will weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, his rule was characterized by his glorious fame, which spread all over the three lokas, and above them to the planetary systems of Satyaloka, the topmost in the universe. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam lagayati grimyat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatharinam. I will just read that purport which Prabhupada says. That's in the Well, in the third chapter, 5th verse, he says, therefore one can simply imagine how many millions of manus are there during one breath of the Purusha. And later in the first canto, he mentions, the creative material energy is working under his direction, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10. He, the Lord, is the control switch of the material energy. And to control the material energy in the innumerable universes, he is the root cause of innumerable incarnations in all universes. There are more than 500,000 incarnations of Manu in one universe only, besides other incarnations. And thus we can simply imagine the number of his incarnations in all universes. And in 17th verse, in the first chapter of the first canto, Prabhupada explains what type of incarnations are the Manu or the Manvantaras. Incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, Vyasa are his material qualitative incarnations. But his incarnations like Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, and Vamsa are his transcendental incarnations. So, there are different types of incarnations, and they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is elaborate description by whom? Anyone remembers? Who is giving a very elaborate descriptions of the Manvantaras? And I mean, all the avatars, Lila avatars, Guna avatars, and Manvantaras, and so many others. Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatana Goswami. So this is the beginning of Sanatana Shiksha and Madhulila. And actually Srila Prabhupada started reading that section quite early in New York in the late 60s. And the classes were very long, and Prabhupada was reading, and all these names of the, for example, the 14 Manus, they're just listed by different names. And then at one point Prabhupada said, this is very technical. Very technical descriptions. Probably the words were overwhelmed. I mean, these are very new people, and suddenly they hear all these names and technical descriptions of partial, full, plenary expansions and incarnations, and could be overwhelming. And Prabhupada said, it's a little technical, but still it's very nice to hear. It's very pleasing to hear for a devotee who has a taste to hear about Krishna. Anything which is connected with Krishna is inspiring. And therefore Sanatana Goswami says in his glorification to Srimad Bhagavatam, that's towards the end of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says in one of the verses, Prima Varshaksharayate, from your syllables, O Bhagavatam, pours prema. From each syllable. And, there are sections, especially 8th canto, when there's the descriptions of the dynasties, and they are just names, and names, and names, and from him was born such and such, and from, that person, and etc., etc. So many names, but because they're all connected to Krishna, these are great devotees, when hearing them, that invokes loving feelings in the devotees. So they're very happy to hear anything connected with Krishna, even if it's technical, especially for us in Kali Yuga with short memory, small brain power. And we may not understand everything deeply or may not remember when we hear this, but still we can appreciate, like Prabhupada said in this class. Still, it's very nice to hear these descriptions, and we can appreciate. And just by hearing about these great personalities who are representing Krishna, therefore they are called incarnations, as Prabhupada explained, material qualitatively incarnations. So they're empowered and they are great. Like we know that the Manu is one of the Mahajans, right? So yes, great devotees who reveal the glories of the Lord. And here it says in this verse, in all over the planetary systems in the universe, Manu is spreading the glory of the Supreme Lord. And so by hearing of these great devotees, we get purified and we are coming close to Krishna just by the process of hearing. And similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have this description of the Chaitanya tree of bhakti, and the different branches, the trunk, and the different main branches. And it's similar, it's also just a list of names of great devotees, right? And actually, this is the 10th, 11th chapter, 12th, and, you know, Chaitanya tree, and Nityananda, the Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar. And at the end, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, whoever listens, just by listening the names of these great devotees, will attain perfection and will develop Krishna Prema, and all the anarthas, all the obstacles will be removed just by hearing the names. It's so powerful, this process, to hear about the devotees of the Lord. And it's so nice to hear them. And actually, Prabhupada, I think it's 10 or 11 chapter, it's recorded. Prabhupada just reads it. No translation. Just reads. And you can hear. And it's a very nice recording also, very good quality. And it's so blissful. Prabhupada is singing Chaitanya Charitamrita, the names of these devotees. So it's the process of devotional service, to hear about Krishna and about the devotees of Krishna. So here, and in this chapter, Brahma is talking to Narada about the incarnations of the Lord. So they are different, mainly Lila incarnations, but also we hear now here the Manvantara, another. Or in other words, whenever there is some appearance of the Lord which is connected with his protection of devotees, his subduing the demoniac, or here it's called the Dushta Raja. Dushteshu Raja, so those who are, you know, kings or rulers who are demoniac, miscreants, Prabhupada called them, Dushteshu. So this is another function, Krishna says in the Gita, I come to Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam, again, same word, to destroy, subdue the demoniac. And so different descriptions are there. Or in previous verses, there were even descriptions of when the Lord appeared to the prayer, responding to the prayer of some devotees, for example, Gajendra. So that's not a specific Lila incarnation, but it's mentioned here in the scheduled incarnations. The Lord reciprocates and appeared to and saved Gajendra. So Srila Prabhupada gives this purport, emphasizing the point that the Lord appears constantly in innumerable actual incarnations, like pouring in one of the purports to first canto. It mentions, like Prabhupada says in the purport, again, I think saying just the Manvantaras are 500,000 in the life of Brahma, and there are so many Brahmas, and they are constantly coming out and in of the body of Karna Dakshaya Vishnu. And then we can just imagine how merciful of the Lord. He is constantly appearing just like a waterfall which never stops, always appearing. So that's Prabhupada's emphasis when we hear about this. Oh, so, okay, there are so many of them. What to do with it? We can just imagine. So imagination has a place in devotional service. We can just imagine how Krishna appears or is empowering living entities to represent him all the time, constantly, because he so much cares about all the living entities, even those who have rejected him and are in the material world. And then he's coming constantly. He's accompanying all living entities as the super soul all the time, but also he appears in different forms to protect them, to care, and to establish the Dharma, the proper way of conduct, so that the living entities who are here can get purified and go back to the spiritual world. So Śrīla Prabhupāda is always pointing to something which we can connect to Krishna and remember that. Like I mentioned in this class, he says we can just hear and appreciate, and he said we can just imagine and think about, oh, Krishna is so kind, he's so merciful. Then that kindness of Krishna is one of his qualities. Unlimited kindness, unlimited mercy, which is a very special and important quality. Like once, I think about Śrīla Prabhupāda, when he was giving class, he said, the Lord is all-powerful. That's the definition of God. He can do anything. But if that other quality of being all-merciful is not present, then we could be in trouble. Imagine if God was all-powerful, he can do anything, but there is no mercy. That's a jealous and angry God who punishes eternally for a small mistake or one mistake. And then that's a problematic concept of God anyway, because God should contain all the wonderful qualities. So besides power and beauty, kindness is also there. So the devotees, we hear in many, many times in the prayers to the Lord, they address the specific quality of the Lord, his mercy, his being unlimitedly merciful. And we know that, especially in his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Paramakaruna, the supremely merciful, because he doesn't discriminate whether one deserves or doesn't deserve. That's the nature of mercy. And so there are many prayers of the acharyas who address this specific aspect or quality of either Krishna or Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. And for example, anyone can remember any prayer which is specifically addressing Krishna? Okay. Mahavadanyaya means the greatest, who is most benevolent, again, munificent. In other words, giving. What he is giving? Krishna prema pradaya. Giving Krishna prema. Other prayers? From songs which you sing, or anything you can remember? For example, Narottam Das Thakur has a very famous song where he addresses Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, it's one song. Paramakaruna. That's from Lochan Das Thakur. Paramakaruna Bahu Duijana. That's another example also. It's supremely merciful. Bahu Duijana Nitai Gaurajane. Pashu Paki Jure, Pashu Navidare. By hearing your merciful quality, your quality of mercy, Pashu Paki Jure, even the animals and the birds and the stones, when they hear about your mercy, they melt. The stones melt. Wonderful expression. And Narottam Das Thakur, he also prays to Lord Chaitanya. And in one song, he specifically says, your name is Patita Pavana. You're so merciful that you specifically you are interested in lifting up or saving those who are fallen, who are very fallen. So that's your name, Patita Pavana. Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Jai. And he says, so that's your name, and you're the most merciful, and you're the savior of the fallen. And who is the most fallen? It's me. That's the author of the song. I'm the most fallen. And if you don't save me, then that's a problem, because you have to live up to your name, right? You have to do it. It's a kind of a transcendental blackmail. You have to save me, because I'm the most fallen and you're the most merciful. So please, you have to do it. And there are many prayers, but another prayer I remember from Rupa Goswami addressing Srimati Radharani. He's saying that he's very fallen and offensive. Krita gaske pi yoge pi janesmin kumatava pi. And he's intelligent. My intelligence, he says, kumatava pi, crooked. I'm offender. But please, dasya dana pradana, say, please give me your service. Even if I'm so offensive and crooked. Lavam apyupara pra. Lavam apyupara. Lavam apyuparada. Even just a small particle of service, please give me. And why I have the right to ask you? He says, kripam dyota dravachitta navanitasi. Yatsada. So your kripa, your kindness is so great that it's the dyota, the shyness of your kripa melts your heart, which is like a freshly churned butter, navanitasi, yatsada. Always it's melted. Your heart is always melted by mercy. Therefore, please be kind. And so again, he says, you're so merciful, your heart is always melted by your mercy. Please be kind. Or another prayer by Raghunath Das Goswami, he also says, please be kind to me, give me your, although I don't deserve it, but give me your mercy, give me your service. And he says after that, that even apidushta dayamaya, those who are merciful, even in this world, they are kind to those who take shelter, even if they are dushta, if they are miscreants. So those who are merciful, they are forgiving to even the miscreants. So that's what he says, apidushta dayamaya. So therefore, please, please give me your. Your mercy, give me the service, the privilege to be your servant. So devotees are addressing this quality of the Lord and pleading for his kind attention to look at them. And there are many, many verses which just say, please kindly look at me mercifully, and then I'll become happy. Or I'll forget about anything material, like another song from Narottam Das Thakur. He prays to Lord Nityananda, please look at me mercifully, and then all my material desires will become insignificant. So this is one lesson we can learn, that we can imagine Krishna is so kind, he appears all the time, he is accompanying us who have chosen to turn our face from him, but still he is there, he is coming again and again and again, until we come to our senses and turn to him and ask him to accept us back. And this is one lesson we can learn. Another thought I had when I read it was, how merciful the devotees are, especially Srila Prabhupada, by giving us these purports. He is so nicely explaining, in a practical way that we can apply what is there in the verses. Otherwise, if just imagine if we had the Bhagavatam for, probably we wouldn't have it anyway if he wasn't, if he hasn't come and translated it and given it. But even if somehow we had Bhagavatam, but without the purports, can you imagine? Again, let's just imagine that. What we'll understand, for example, from this verse or from this, such similar verses about, you know, Manvantaras or something else. What we'll make of it? It's impossible, actually, for us, especially who are not familiar with the whole philosophy or culture. It will be incomprehensible. So we owe everything to Srila Prabhupada, actually. His kindness that he has given these purports, which are, first of all, explaining so nicely that we can understand, they're relevant, we can relate to this explanation. And also, they are, as he says, his personal ecstasies. And Prabhupada says, I did not write these books. It's Krishna who was dictating. So we're hearing the ecstasies of a pure Mahabhagavata devotee. Whenever we sit to read or hear in some way Srila Prabhupada's books, we are directly associating with him. Like he said, I will never die. I will always live in my books. So we can always associate with Srila Prabhupada in his sound incarnation or his murti, and just by hearing. So this is very good news to know that we can be always with Srila Prabhupada. And as he says, when I was writing, Krishna was sitting next to me. So when we're reading, Prabhupada is sitting next to us and telling us what Krishna is dictating. So isn't that wonderful? Yes. So then we have to pressure. This is so precious gift that we have to cherish it and relish it and use every opportunity. Prabhupada often said that if you find some time, please read my books. You know. You have some time, fine. But he expected, of course, many letters and conversations. Prabhupada directly said that he expects that we read these books regularly and hear, study them also scrutinizingly and analyze and think. But just hearing is also so nice. And it's good that we do it regularly in a planned way. Like Vaisheshi Kapoor has this different ways of calculating. You can read the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year. If you read, how many pages? 80? Huh? 80, I think 81 pages, something like that. If you read every day, it's some good number of pages, but then the whole Bhagavatam you finish in 1 year. Okay, if you can read that much, 2 years, half, or 3 years, even that. But you schedule it and you want to finish it. And it's important. That's part of the sadhana. That's also what we hear. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nati Bhi. Goswamis, they counted their rounds, their japa, their number of obeisances. And so we can count. It shows our determination and interest in Krishna. I want you. I don't want anything else. And there are so many things other than Krishna in this world. Maya is giving us all kinds of distractions. And this is, for a sadhaka, for a practicing devotee, the main form. I mean, if we somehow come to the level where we are done with the gross material sensual attractions and more or less follow the principles and are strict with that, you know, it's not the end. You know, Maya will continue testing us. And one of the greatest tests is the distraction from the focus of remembering Krishna, because that's the main point in bhakti, to always, all the rules, all prescriptions are about remembering Krishna and never forget him. So when we're distracted by Maya, then we forget. So what examples of distractions are there? Anyone can say? Internet. But you can hear in internet about Krishna, no? Yeah. You can also be in Maya. What else? Oh, okay, listening to the internal internet and radio. Switch the, you know, some other station which doesn't talk about Krishna and talks about something else. The internal something else. Other types of distractions. What? Okay, television. Okay, yeah, world events, you know, because Kali Yuga is madness. It's just unlimited. It's an ocean of faults, right? Dosha, kaler dosha nidera ja. It's just an ocean of mistakes, faults, conflicts, and all kinds of things that definitely grabs our attention. And then it just shakes us and it causes to think either we are afraid or excited or whatever it is, you know, the world news of what happened. And then we start talking about that. First of all, we hear, and then we want to hear more and get more details, and what to do, you know, the world is ending maybe, and then whatever, I have to save myself. It's not that we don't prepare for something, but it just, we can get very distracted and too worried about something which is beyond our control. So within our control is to direct our attention, and this is the whole point. But there are so many distractions, and when we indulge in some, then the next fall. For example, if we hear a lot, then we want to speak about that. So when we meet with others, and then we start talking about these world events or whatever, and that's called, by Rupa Goswami, Prajalpa. That's called Prajalpa. It's a village talk or gossip, which is just useless. Not just useless, but it's detrimental to bhakti. It destroys bhakti. So there's all kinds of distractions, but yeah, as Bhagadatta Prabhu said, this, the internet, or we can get lost there if we're not focused, if we don't use it just for Krishna service. And if we get distracted, then our mission in life is spoiled, or we get very much delayed in our progress. And then years can go on and on and on, and we seemingly practice. We count a number. The numbers are counted, but even the mridanga can be cracking, like Gorkishor Das Babaji. The mridangas are cracking, but the hearts are not cracking. In other words, there is no transformation in the heart. If we don't let Krishna enter through sound, by hearing, sincere hearing and focused hearing, then there will be no transformation. Still, we'll keep our anarthas, our attraction to this world, or the progress will be very slow. And then we have to take birth again, and maybe again. So we know that Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, they encourage us. They were actually emphasizing. I remember one of his disciples, Mother Nikunjavasini from Radhadesh. She said, I remember in Prabhupada in one class when he was saying, you have to become perfect in this lifetime. And he was hitting the table in front of me. You have to finish the business now in this life. Now it may be, again, scary. Well, I'm not ready. It's too much. I have too many attachments. I can't do it. But if we say, yes, I am too weak and it will take time. Anyway, devotional service is a slow progress and step by step. It will take many times, many lifetimes. So if that's our mood, then really it can go really slow. But if we're determined, no, I want Krishna. I want you, Krishna. Please take me. Please accept me. Don't reject me. I'm unqualified. I'm weak. It's not within my power, actually, to overcome all my weaknesses and anarthas. But you can do it for you. There's no problem. And if we have that faith and we endeavor, that's our goal, then it can be easy. Krishna can help, even if it takes more than one lifetime. But our determination is important. Anyway, we're not interested so much in liberation per se, but we want to come to the level of loving Krishna. Not just theoretically, yes, our goal is Krishna Prema, but we want to experience it. And it's possible, the acharyas tell us. It is practical, it's possible, we can attain it very quickly. That's another expression, actually, Prabhupada says, immediately. Have you noticed that? Many, many places, Prabhupada says, if you follow nicely, sincerely, then immediately you become Krishna conscious, you become self-realized. And then we can think, well, what does it mean immediately? You know, I'm trying, I think I'm sincere, you know, I'm following, but, you know, still I'm not there. After many years, maybe even. But immediately, in that sense, like, yeah, one time Prabhupada, again, in one of the early lectures, was saying, spiritual life means making material life zero. And material life means four things. What are they? Ahara, nidra, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And Prabhupada says, so we have to make them zero. Zero. And then we have to stop sleeping, stop eating, and stop fearing. Oh. And then Prabhupada said, fear and defense, you can give up very easily. Sex life, immediately you give up, no problem. And then sleeping, eating, you can reduce gradually. So I was just imagining, you know, talking to a bunch of hippies, there's a very early class in New York, and telling them, you can give it up immediately, sex life, you know, and they're coming from the culture of, you know, this is the highest, you know, sex, drugs, and Prabhupada, no, it's so simple, just give it up. And then it will take some time with the other. And he said, just like the Goswamis, they gave up everything, even sleep, and they were sleeping a little bit. Sometimes forgetting even that, almost not eating, eating every 2 days, a handful of some buttermilk or something. And then at the end, and devotee said, Prabhupada, is this possible, or Swamiji, is it at all possible? And how long it will take? And Prabhupada says, you can do it in one moment, immediately. It's possible in one moment. And then a pause, and everybody's shocked, I guess. What? In one moment? How that works? And Prabhupada says, but generally it takes some time. And he said, you're all young, boys and girls, in your 20s, and usually, you normally live up to at least another 50 years. So Prabhupada says, if you apply yourself in these 50 years, sincerely and seriously. There must be sincerity of purpose, of intent. You don't have a background motives or desires. You're really sincere. I want to become Krishna's servant. I want to develop love of Krishna. But then you have to be serious. You have to act on that intent. Not just theoretically. So Prabhupada says, if you're sincere and serious, then that 50 years is enough. He says, more than enough. So Prabhupada promises that. And it's not a marketing tactic to just... of course, he said one time, I cheated you. I attracted you, but that was in the context that I told you it's very easy, but it's not very easy. In that context, he said, I cheated you. But in so many places, he says that it is possible that we attain Krishna very quickly, in one lifetime. And that's not a... It's not just a tactic. It's a promise, and it's coming from the acharyas. It's possible, and if we doubt it, we doubt the power of Krishna and power of the holy name, then where we stand, if we think, no, it's not possible. Krishna is not all-powerful. He cannot save me. I'm so fallen that he cannot save me. It's not enough. His power. No, it's possible, and that's exactly Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, you know, he by his mercy, the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and all the acharyas, even the impossible becomes possible. That's a recurring theme in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The impossible becomes possible by the mercy of Gaur Nitai. So it's possible we attain the highest, or close to the highest level of bhakti, just by sincerely practicing and following the acharyas and trying to please them. And yes, so Prabhupada says it may not be easy in that sense. The practice itself is very easy. Anyone can sit in here, just like the children, they can sit in here also. It's not difficult. But what is not easy is to do it continuously and without offense, with attention. And one of the offenses we know is inattention, pramada, inattention, neglect, being neglectful. And we can do the emotions or the external things, but if our heart is not there, that's offensive. And then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says we can continue chanting for millions of lifetimes. We will not attain prema. So, that's the difficulty, to do it with attention, and therefore we have to endeavor. That is a practice, how we improve or perfect our practice, so that we do it with focus, with attention, with feeling, in a prayerful mood, and then Krishna reciprocates. He's right there in the heart, as manifested as devotees, as spiritual masters, and as archa incarnation. As another type of incarnation, which innumerable forms, yesterday I read some Prabhupada. And Krishna comes as archa murti just to please his innumerable devotees in the material world. So that's another form, another blessings, besides the powerful sound of the pure devotee. Then we have also Krishna. He has given us Krishna in this form. He has invited Krishna to come, and then we can have darshan, direct darshan, see Krishna and serve him and glorify him and be happy just by this simple process. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Are there any comments, reflections? Yes.
A higher griva is mentioned, but it doesn't give a full description of higher griva. Could you enlighten me and us, please?
I can't remember actually a place with a full and detailed description. It's just mentioned what that type of higher griva means, with a horse head. So he came to save the Vedas. Basically, that's what it's mentioned, but not like some more detailed. I don't remember, at least anyone, if anyone can remember some more specific in detail. At least in Bhagavatam, I don't think there is. So I can't remember now anything more detail than what you said.
So it's to do with the horse?
What? Where? Sorry? Yes, it's almost hardly anything. Just mention. Also like Hamsavatara, you know, there is a lot, it's a lot in the 11th canto with no particular description how Hamsavatara looks like. So we can imagine.
But the horse is a very important animal alongside the cow, is it not? The churning of the ocean and the nectar that dropped down.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, you've answered my question very well. So it's okay. the horse okay. Incarnation.
Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Could you pass the mic?
Is it on? Oh, yeah, it's on. Hare Krishna Prabhu. When you are talking about giving up things, renunciation of the material world, what kind of keeps coming up for me is that Prabhupada never really asked us initially to just like renounce everything, right? We were supposed to engage everything in Krishna's service. So I felt like that was the most important thing, because especially for new people, when they come and then they're told you have to give up everything, okay, long term, like that might be the end goal, but actually we can see Krishna in everything. So even we go on the internet, we see this Maya, it calls us and pulls us. We can see that as Krishna's, Maya is Krishna's servant also, right? So we can actually even engage Maya in Krishna's service. So rather than continually feeling like we have to give up everything, if we can engage it in Krishna's service, then it makes everything a lot less painful. Does that make sense?
Well, I didn't say we have to give up everything. That was Prabhupada's statement, that he says spiritual life means reducing to zero material activities, which are the four main. That was from a class. That's how you actually see externally the advancement. Because if I tell you I actually have developed prema, but you see me, you know, indulge in gross material activities, then you are right to say that I'm wrong. I'm probably cheating, because if I have prema, I will not do these things. That's the point here. You know, that naturally when you advance spiritually, the material life will diminish. That's the point. It doesn't refer to how we tell others, how we tell ourselves what to do the priority. It doesn't mean the opposite, like we can conclude, okay, so to attain perfection I have to stop this, and that's the whole thing. If I stop it, then I attain Krishna Prema. No, that's not the point. It's when you advance spiritually, naturally the material will reduce. That's Prabhupada's point.
Yeah,
because the other, Krishna says, the other way, you may abstain, you may give up externally, but the taste will remain. Unless there is param drishtva, unless you see the higher reality or experience higher taste. So yes, that's what Prabhupada, we saw. He started by engaging everyone in the most powerful process of chanting, of being there in direct contact with Krishna, and they gradually, naturally, and Prabhupada was proud, and he said, just see how they give up everything easily. And that was not his emphasis, that they give up, but they give up, you know, he says, well, the government spends millions of dollars to somehow fight with this addiction to drugs. But we don't spend anything. We just engage in Krishna service, they naturally give it up. And Prabhupada, yes, he was telling them, just chant and hear. And yes, and after some time, he
and
told
take
them.
Take prasadam, and dance, Krishna conscious
dance,
children.
Yeah, dance and chant
dance
and be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you will give it up. But then he said, you later introduced also the principle. He said, because if you, you know, indulge in these gross materialistic activities like meat eating and gambling and intoxication, your mind will be confused and polluted, and it will be difficult to hear when you chant. So then it will work, but then better, you know, you'll just mold your life in such a way that you can remember Krishna can chant. But again, that's not how you start. He never said, or never in never Shastra says, especially in the path of bhakti yoga, it never says first you stop this and then you can start practicing. No, anyone can start hearing and chanting. Anyone, in the most horrible sinner, and that will help to give up. So yes, you're right. That's the approach. That's how we go, and we're not so much worried. Anyway, we can't deal with the. We can't solve them. We can't overpower Maya. We can engage, yes, in service, but that requires training and maturity to engage everything. So, because a pure devotee cannot be touched by Maya and can engage everything. But you know, if for us neophytes, we advise to be careful with Maya. Although anything can be, and this is the example of internet, as you say. Yes, you can see and it will be, you can hear about Krishna there, but we have to be careful. But then, because from one point to the other, and then we can get distracted, and right. Like that. So that's the point. You know, we can engage, but it requires attention and even and care Even the pure devotee may not be touched, but still, we know Prabhupada prayed. You know this famous story when Prabhupada was praying very intensely. Devotees asked him, "Prabhupada, what are you praying?" I said, "I pray to Krishna to protect me from Maya." And they were surprised. They thought, "Well, why? You know, you pure devotee, you don't have any problem with Maya. Why you pray to Krishna?" Prabhupada said, "No. I'm every day praying to Krishna to protect me from Maya. And that's the difference between me and you. I'm afraid of Maya, you're not." And that's your weak position, you know, because if you're not afraid, if you don't seek all the time protection from Krishna, you can slip. And Krishna will help. He will not give us up, but it's we're advised to be careful.
Yeah, in my understanding, we use it like Maya. When we see Maya, and we are like when a bell rings, your bell rings to bring you back into the present moment. So when we see that, then we can we relate it directly to what we've heard in the Bhagavatam and what we've heard Prabhupada say. Or when we relate it in that way, then immediately we can transform it, like alchemize that energy. Right? That's my understanding.
Yeah, we can by Krishna's grace. If we are spiritually strong, we have to finish. I'm really sorry. I just noticed that it's not Saturday and Sunday. I was looking 8:45, but we should have finished 8:30. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.